Tehillim Nishmas of Rav Yecheskel ben Moshe Aharon HaKohen, and Ephraim Becker is sponsoring. And that's his father. He didn't say it was your side or something like that. Did he say it was your side?
It was right here.
Ephraim, is it for the your side or just the...
Yeah.
Okay.
It's your side.
Okay. Shalom Moshe Aharon Aliyah.
Amen.
Okay, so the topic today, when you get to the section of the Torah which deals with the Mishkan, so talking about the details of the Mishkan and the halachic band is a little more challenging, but it will be relevant. When Mashiach comes, we'll have that very relevant, but we're hoping that should happen soon. But meanwhile, I'm not probably going to be asking those questions when that happens anyway. So, I'm definitely not going to be once going to answer those questions. But there is relevant many questions. We talk about the halachos of, we spoke last year about the deal of the halachos of building a shul. What are the requirements of building a shul? And I want to talk about some of the halachos of how to use a shul properly. There is, we mentioned last year, there is a mitzvah to build a shul. It's a machloek is whether this is a mitzvah deraisa. The pasuk says, "Vasa l'mikdash," according to some one understanding, "Vasa l'mikdash," you should make this dwelling place for Hashem. Applies not only to the base of mikdash, but even to the idea of a mikdash ma'at, which the more it refers to a shul, they say Knesset, as a mikdash ma'at, a small mikdash for Hashem. So there's a mitzvah binyan base of Knesset. That's clear in the Gemara that it's a halachic requirement, because the Gemara says that the point, if you have live in a city where there's no base of Knesset, the authorities of the city are empowered halachically to force everybody to pay to cover the cost of building a shul. So, I mean, it's a halachic requirement that a city must have a Beis HaKnesses. So that's clear that it's true that it's a chiyuv, whether it's a chiyuv d'oraisa or it's a chiyuv d'rabbanan. That's going to be an argument, but it's clear. The next step is that there's a mitzvah in the Torah of mara mikdash. That mikdash yitiro, you have to have a certain amount of respect and awe for that the mikdash, and then that again, it's a question. The application applies to a shul. Is that on a deraisa level, a Torah level? Is it just a rabbinic level with the idea of the pasuk hinting to such a concept? So that's going to be an argument. The Sefer Steichemet has a long list of opinions of both sides, whether it's at the right, whether it's on a Torah level. So we're possibly dealing with any issues we deal with, the elements of the concept of what is defined as respect for a shul, whatever that is. That might be a Torah. That might actually be a Torah obligation. Now, that's not clear in the Torah what the definition is, and the rabbis are coming along and saying this is the definition of what it means to have the proper respect. So, do you find that because the rabbis defined it, does that get a Torah level status? There's a Ramban which presents such an idea that the concept is there on the Torah level, and the Moshe Kasev of the Chachamim, the Torah gave it over to the Chazal to define the parameters. But now that that's the definition of the parameters, that takes on the status of a Torah level concept. So we're dealing with something which is a very strong concept. We're going to make a list of things that we're going to talk about. We're going to find that we don't do most of these things. We should, but maybe we don't in our shuls. And one answer is because we could build a shul and not give it the status of a Beis HaKnesses. In other words, we could, at the time of building it, we could actually speak out. We could, preferably, the person should actually say it, that whoever is authorized will say it explicitly that I'm building this as a Beis Vad. It's a place we're going to gather. It's not a basic, but not with the halacha. So that was historically the idea behind a shtibel. They called it a shtibel specifically because they did not want to put the status of basic connections on it, because that would limit what you're allowed to do with it. And they wanted to use it for all their purposes. So it doubled as a shul and as a place that people would sleep and eat and etc., etc., and get together for a lachaim. So the problem with that. Is that even when we do that, there's a limit how far you can take this. The problem with that is two problems. One is you do not fulfill the mitzvah of building a shul. It's not a shul. Number two, which we said is incumbent upon the city to build it with the level of kedusha of a shul, because when you daven in a shul, because of the higher level of holiness which is there, it's a different type of tefillah. So you lose that by making your place just the room. it's not a shul, so you don't have the added advantage of davening in a shul, which there's a halachic concept. So it's referred. So if I have a shul and a shtibul, there's a halachic advantage of davening in a shul over a shtibul because of the kedusha which is there. How much do you weigh it against whether you have a better davening? You know, you'll ask your rabbi. The third issue is your donors. So if you're building your own shtibul, right? So you do whatever you want. And if you're paying for it, you do whatever you want. But you go to somebody and you solicit some type of a donation towards this, and he thinks he's donating towards Beis HaKnesses with the Kedusha Beis HaKnesses, and you turn around and say, no, this is not it. This is just a room. Forget. You might have a question of taking money improperly. You have to make sure that all of your donors understand very clearly you're taking this money and not for that purpose. So, you know, so you have the practical rabbinics over here is important. That's if you now there is a concept called making on a tanai, putting a tanai when you build it with a tanai. So there's a fascinating argument in the Rishonim, how far the Tanai works. So Tosis Shita, which is the Shulchan Aruch actually follows, is that a Tanai doesn't mean conditional. It means you're speaking out at the beginning that you're limiting the Kedusha, which is there. You're allowing other functions there. Tosis says it only applies in Chutz Lorets, but the Shuls in Eretz Yisrael have a higher level of Kedusha. Tanai does not work. And even in Chutz Lorets, it only works after the Shul has broken down. If the shul is destroyed, even after the shul is destroyed, there's a law of what you can and can't do in that place. That's when tanai works. Once you make it, if you make a tanai at the beginning, once the shul breaks down, it's no longer functioning as a shul, you can use it for other purposes. But while it's standing, tanai does not work. So the Bir Halacha says, why? You know, that's clear in a law. For example, let's say I have a bag which I use for my tefillin. So you can't if you can't put other things in that bag.
But I'm sorry, you can't what?
Can't put other things in the bag. You have to use it for just tefillin. But if when I first, before I use it the first time, I say that I'm not designating this just for the tefillin purpose, so then I can do I'll put other things in there because I didn't designate it for the tefillin. So why can't I do that for the shul? So the Bir Halacha says, the Tosfos says this problem. Because if you're going to do that, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of building a shul. And since it's incumbent to build a shul, tonight can't work. The Ramban disagrees, and this is what the Mishnah Berurah comes out, that we're learning to be samech on the Ramban. The Ramban disagrees, and he says, A, that it works even when it's standing, and B, it works even in Eretz Yisrael. Of course, there's opinions in the middle. It works in Eretz Yisrael after the Churban. It works in Chutz Lorets. But you know, the Ramban says everything works. Okay, and that's what has become the minhag. So, but the Shabura, others, the Aruch HaShulchan, they'll point out it doesn't work for something which is considered insulting to the shul. So the Tanai would allow it to work that you're going to limit what is permitted. So let's go through some of the details of things which the halacha says are prohibited, and you'll see how we're not doing them. And obviously, we're assuming the Mishnah Berurah discusses this issue. Do you need to say it explicitly, or in Chutz Lorets you can assume? The Ramban says you can assume that when they built it all the Tanai. So even if they didn't say it explicitly before, it was the first time it was used, you would have to declare, whoever is authorized to make that declaration, that we're not putting the full level of Kedusha of a shul in it, we're allowing certain other usages. If you didn't speak that out, according to the Ramban, it still works. Okay, so what can't you do? So the first thing you can't do is you can't shmooze in a shul. I had an experience. I was in a Sephardi community, and now, this is not talking about during davening. This is talking about period. This room is never used for anything else other than davening. They have a shul like that. There's zero talking in the shul, not during tefillah, not during that tefillah. They do not talk in that building, in the room of the shul. It was a fascinating experience. When you walk into the room, you zone into a different type of thought process because you made this place a special place that you only do tefillah here. So it helps you zone into your davening. And I found my davening was uplifted because of that. And I think a little bit I understand what they had in mind when they put this concept. The Aruch HaShulchan says that the Ramban's Tanai will allow you to talk in the shul things which are necessary. But it does not allow you to talk just schmoozing. even according to even in Chutz La'aretz, while it's standing, the Ramban, if you have a need, okay, now that's a valid usage of the shul. But just to stand in the shul, God's there, and you're saying, you know, you're laughing your heart out with your friend next door. That's beautiful. That, you know, it's a wonderful thing. That'd be very nice. Do it outside, not in here. So that's, it's a big question. Why don't we? I don't have a good answer. I mean, myself included. That we don't seem to be. So now the next halacha is a loy metayli in the head. So that's a very strange word. You can't take a walk in them. So what does it mean? Take a walk. The word metayli means to take a walk. So obviously that's not the point. I have a heart condition. I can't. It's too cold outside. So I want to do my laps inside the shul. That's not what we're talking about. So one of the explanations, what that means, you find a similar language by a sukkah. You're supposed to be metayli in the sukkah. So over there, obviously, it doesn't mean taking walks in your sukkah back and forth. It means spending time there, just hanging out. Just you have no, you're not doing anything there. You're just sitting there, enjoying life, you know, type of a thing. So you don't do that in a shul. You come to shul to daven, to learn, etc. Not just, I need a place to sort of like just relax a little bit. So that's called being metayli. So that would be a problem. You can't do work in a shul. So. If it's something which is attached and you have no option, you should try to limit as much as possible. Let's say a person's shtender breaks. He says, okay, I want to take a hammer and bang in a nail. You should take the shtender out of the room, do it outside the room, and bring it back in. You shouldn't do the malach inside the shul. When it comes to eating and drinking in a shul, this is eating, drinking, sleeping. So halacha differentiates between a shul and a beis hamedrash. Beis hamedrash is a place where people were learning, and in order to facilitate learning, you understand if you're going to force them to leave for eating or drinking or sometimes even sleeping, you're going to diminish their learning opportunities. So the language over there is the chachamim etamideyim. It's the people which are basically spending the whole day in there. What about a person who just comes for an hour a day, but he's like tired and he wants to take a coffee? So what about him? The language of the Shulchan Aruch only seems to say it's mutter for somebody who's really spending the whole day there. Okay, if you spend the whole day there, at some point in time you got to eat. So they spent the night there also. I once had a person complain to me, like, you read these stories about these women, you know, in the past generations, that they let their husbands, you know, go away and learn for a long period of time. And says, listen, let's get the deal. So Motzei Shabbos, these people would leave the house with a loaf of bread for the whole week, and they would sleep on the bench in the unheated shul, you know, and eat one loaf of bread for the whole week, and they would drink the hot water, you know, that they provided in the shul without any sweetener. If you're ready to do that, your wife will be willing. If that's where you're holding, your wife will support you and say, go spend the whole week in the shul, you know, learning. But you're not there, so don't complain about your wife, right? So they did. They spent the whole week there. These people, yes, they slept in the shul also. What do you want? But
Rebbe,
yeah.
There's no drinking. Does that include just drinking water?
Yeah. So, but the poskim do suggest that if a person would have an hour a day to learn, if having to go out to get a drink or whatever it is would diminish his opportunity to learn, that also goes into this hetter. So what we have done is said that many shuls function not as a beis hakneses, but as a beis hamedrash. We daven there, but we also learn there, so it has the hetter, while you're learning, to allow the person to take a drink, etc.
Now, is that because the combination beis kinesis, beis medrash doesn't have the din of the beis kinesis?
Correct. So it has a din of, so it's interesting in halacha, beis medrash actually could be the higher level of kedusha than the beis kinesis. Because the Morris says in Brochas that Abaya would prefer davening where he learned the Beis HaMedrash, as opposed to, they used to have two different places. There was Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash. He says because Oyev Hashem Sharim Hamad Tzionim, Oyev Hashem Sharim Tzion, Oyev Hashem Sharim Hamad Tzionim Ba'alocha. The place where they learned, Hashem preferred that. So there's a mile to daven in a Beis HaMedrash over a Beis HaKnesses. If that's where you normally learn. Okay, you can only do cheshbon shel mitzvah, which would include, you know, the halacha assumes selling kibbutzim, etc., goes into that. But a person wants to sit down and just, you know, he's got to balance a checkbook, you know, or have a conversation about a business deal, not in the shul. This point also could even according to the Ramban, that's not going to be permitted. That goes into the issue of, because even according to the Ramban, that Tanai works, it doesn't work for something which has an element of degrading, insulting type of thing to the presence which is there. So, eating, drinking, sleeping, Cheshbon is not Shal Mitzvah. Rosh says, I'm standing here, why are you ignoring me? So that's okay. The shortcut issue. So there's something that says you can't use a shul as a kapandri, as a shortcut. You know, go from point A to point B. The shul is a great way to go through. You know, go around the whole block. You know, I can just cut through the shul. So you can't do that.
Is there any issue with having a washroom or a toilet in the Beis HaKnesses?
Well, it wouldn't be an actual room, which is the sanctuary. It would be the building. Basically, this is where it refers to actually means the room, which is the sanctuary, not the whole building. That you have other things in the building. You have offices, you have many other things in the building. The issue is really the sanctuary.
So the issue is they have a primary place where they daven, but then they use other rooms for davening occasionally too, like during the week.
Right. So those might be considered like the basic Knesses, they might not, depending on how they set it up. And really, if they're going to be using it regularly, they should give it the status of a basic Knesses for the in order to gain the advantage of davening in a basic Knesses. The problem is you have the problem using the room for other things. So you have that. Okay. One thing, kapandria for so sometimes you'll have multiple rooms and the access for the back room is only through the shul. So the purpose of that back room is to daven there, so that's permitted. You can go through the shul to get to that back room but if the one example, let's say the shul decides they want to put their office, like, and the access to the office is through the shul, that's not right, because that means you'd have to use the shul every time to get to the office. So, if you're going to pay your dues, you're going to Tzarek Mitzvah. We'll argue, like, you know, but there's other, you know, other reasons why you're going there, which are not the Tzarek Mitzvah. Listen, I'm a fundraiser. Come on. Anyway, entering a shul with some form of weaponry. So it's not allowed to go into a shul with an open weapon. Preferably, you shouldn't have it on you at all, unless it's a case of an emergency, where then it's permitted. The argument being like the same issue which you have at the end of Parshas Yisro, of putting a cheriv on the mizbeach. The mizbeach is created to extend life. The cheriv is created to shorten life. It's not appropriate that they should be together. I once argued that I think that's why it's also to smoke in a shul, for the same argument. I think that, you know, shul was made to create, extend life, and cigarettes were created to shorten life. You know, okay. I happen to have my real out of town opinion on that. Okay. The halacha discusses the idea of expectorating, spitting in a shul. And it says that they used to have dirt floors in the shul, so a person would spit and they would rub it into the floor, and that's permitted. The Mishnah Berurah says, well, why is that acceptable? Because people in those days would do that in their homes also. So since the people did not look at that as something which was repulsive, that's how they used to live. They used to, you know, the world of spittoons. You go to the museums and you see that they have spittoons. You're like, really? You know, you go to these old shuls and they have the spittoon there. You know, you think, like, you know, we're not into that. But the poskim can say, and therefore nowadays, which nobody does it in their house, it would be it would be considered something which is also to do on the shul. So the halacha can't evolve. So reading the newspaper in the shul, you know, guys, you know, my morning ritual is I daven, I'll take out the newspaper, I sit down, you know, like make a l'chaim in the back of the shul with my newspaper, you know, like, no, you know, that's not, you know, you want to learn there, fine. I mean, unless you hold the newspaper as like learning, but hopefully not, right? So that's a modern application of this concept.
Well, there is an Indian, it's our minhag to spit.
Yeah, I don't have an explanation for it.
It's from the Shulchan Aruch.
I just pointed out that the Shulchan Aruch, okay, you came in, did you hear what I said?
No.
Okay, I said that the Mishnah Berurah explains why isn't it considered disrespectful, because in those days they used to spit in their homes also. Nowadays, we don't spend our homes. So if these people were doing their homes on a regular basis, they could do it on the shul also. But nowadays, Pasha is Shmi Yasser. All right, that's my opinion. Let's not get into a fight about it. Okay. I don't have an explanation for that minute. They, you know, they have their poskim and they can, you know, they can pass whatever they want to pass them. But
well, it's not spitting for the sake of spitting.
I understand. But
there's a smell behind it.
I get it.
Spitting the spittoon because it's not the same.
But the case of Shulchan Aruch was actually spitting on the floor and rubbing it in. That's the case, not a spittoon, which is exactly what, you know. Okay, can we not argue this? Okay. So we mentioned before that the way we approach this is making a Tanai, which would permit an activity which is not considered a bizoyan. But even the Tanai, the Mishmur points out very clearly, not, you know, Mishmur others point out that with anything which is considered a Ganai, is, even after a Tanai, would still be a problem. Most shuls nowadays, the assumption of Chutz L'Aretz is for sure it's built on the Tanai, and that's why people are Makel, Malkam of Atzarach, etc. But the Mishmur says, because it's Machloikis, because according to Shulchan Aruch, Tanai doesn't work while the shul is standing, and therefore all these things would be prohibited. We only rely on it because there's a tzarech mitzvah, there's a tzarech mitzibur, and we don't have another option, etc. So the eating or drinking, because that'll help facilitate the learning. So, okay, that's a tzarech mitzvah. You will argue that. But, that's why I said, even after these things, cheshbon shel mitzvah is mutter, but to have a conversation about cheshbon of other things, why should you have it in here? So anything which is not necessary to have in a shul, the Tanai will not help you, even nowadays. Okay.
What exactly is the Tanai?
See, the phrase Tanai is a misleading phrase, because Tanai we think of conditional. So it's not conditional in the sense if A, if B, there's not, you know, an if then type of a thing. It just means that your person is designating up front, whoever's authorized, that we're not giving it the full level of Kedusha of a shul, and therefore we're not really making this a full shul. That's basically what you're saying.
What is it you're making it?
You're making it. That's this question. So if you make it clearly nothing, so you can do whatever you want there, that's the shtibul, right? We're saying it's a shul, but that doesn't have the full level of kedusha of a shul. That's the chiddush. You're not designating it only for the purpose of a shul. You're designating it for the purpose of a shul and other purposes as well. It's like your tefillin bag. I'm using it for my tefillin, plus I'm using it for
svarim.
Put a svarim or keeping something else there.